This is Eshin Akins, and welcome to Two Guys and a Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're back again. I'm here with Jason Akins, my co-host and Two Guys and a Podcast aficionado. We're also here with Billy White, the paranormal one.
He is paranormal. He is. he's extraterrestrial.
That's it. And that's going to be the topic of the show after we get through our Marvel news. And we talked about for a couple episodes now that the letter getting sent to Congress, all that stuff being opened up and explained.
Yes.
Well, we finally got some explanations from our government.
We did. We're going to go over this report. I think the closest we've been to actual disclosure, and there's some good information. There's some of the information, and we'll bring this out when we discuss it, were things that we called a few weeks ago before the report was ever released.
We're waiting on the government to knock on our door.
Either we know something or they know we know something. One of the two.
And we really know nothing.
We know much today, though.
You can look at it two ways. You can be referred to as paranormal, which is pretty cool, or abnormal. And that's sometimes I'm abnormal. And
well, I think we all are at some point. So life treating y'all okay, guys? I know y'all saw my Facebook post about going to the doctor, and I'm dying.
You're in bad shape, buddy.
I'm real close.
You're in bad shape. Your A1C is about 82.
Yeah. I don't know how I'm still up and moving.
Now, tell the folks what the doctor's report said.
I weighed in at 300 pounds, which is what I've been around basically my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
My blood pressure was 147 over 101.
You were 300 pounds when you were born, weren't you?
It's real close to it. Yeah, I mean, just genetics. Blood pressure was crazy high, so I got put on blood pressure medicine for the first time in my life. Because I refused to take it. My wife told me, no, you're taking it.
Oh, yeah.
And then they checked my blood sugar and A1C, and it was funny. She checks it, and I said, it's probably high. I mean, my sugar's probably running around 500. So the doctor leaves, and the doctor comes back up and sort of, she says, dude, what is going on? Your A1C is 13.1, and I don't know what that means. I'm like, is that bad? Yeah, it's terrible. So we go through that, and so now I'm taking injections and taking blood pressure medicine, which blood pressure medicine is a little iffy right now. It makes me feel a little dizzy and foggy, but I guess it's better than stroking out.
You said it was lisinopril.
Lisinopril.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think the blood sugar medicine is Victoza or something like that.
Okay.
But it's a daily injectable, and it's a real small needle, so I ain't gotta worry about it.
And it has the added benefit of losing weight.
Yeah, she said in studies they found it helps people lose weight.
Okay.
Which is fantastic.
Okay. Well, how old are you now?
I'll be 36 this coming Friday.
Be 36. Okay. Yeah, things start to show up, wouldn't you say? Late 30s.
I guess. Things change. I know that.
Right.
They do.
And my concern with the blood pressure medicine is losing my sex drive.
Well, you know.
I've heard horror stories.
I can tell you right now, man. I've been on blood pressure medicine. I should have been on blood pressure medicine when I was in my 20s. But at the time, the doctors that I was seeing didn't take it seriously. They just didn't think someone my age could have high blood pressure, but I've been taking blood pressure medicine since I was in my early 30s. And, you know, it can have some impact. It can definitely have some impact. You know, I mean, at this point in life now, I just want a good night's sleep.
It's me. I don't sleep good at night anyway, so any night I can sleep, you know, more than 2 hours without waking up, that's fantastic.
That's what I'm saying. You'll be asking the younger guys to tell you what they've been doing.
Right.
You
don't do that.
You'll say, hey, y'all just tell me what y'all been doing with your girlfriend, and that'll be good enough for me. And
that's it.
I can go to sleep tonight.
I'll be done.
me and my wife are going to read before we go to bed.
We're going to read our devotional. We're going to go to sleep. That's it.
That's it. It's going to be a prayer meeting.
We've even separated our beds. We're both on twin size beds now.
There you go, like Lucy and Desi.
Right. Oh, yeah. So, Jason, we've been watching Loki.
Yes, we have.
It's been on for 5 weeks now?
Yes, the final of the sixth episode is this Wednesday.
This Wednesday. I'm kind of disappointed in just a short show like that, because I feel like there's a lot more they could do with it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know there is. I mean, they're really kind of getting into the multiverse and how you access that and why it's important and how it can affect the entire Marvel universe.
Right.
So, you know, there's all kinds of ways you can go with that. And it's been a very well-done show.
I think so. I think it's been... I'm torn. I really liked WandaVision. I thought it was a great show, but I think Loki so far is the best one. Mm-hmm. And I think Hawkeye, when it comes out, it'll kind of shadow Loki. I think it's going to be a really good show with a different aspect.
Yeah, I agree. I'm looking forward to Hawkeye. I think it's going to be great. I think Moon Knight's going to be great. Yes. You know,
I didn't even think about Moon Knight.
Oh, yeah. They got Oscar Isaacson, who is an absolutely fantastic actor in that. But with Loki, you know, it's been enjoyable to watch. You look forward to it. You enjoy it.
I'm glad to see Tom Hiddleston.
I am too, man. He is so good.
He kind of showcases his talent compared to what you see in the movies or whatever. Yeah. It's totally different to me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I agree. You see different sides. You see trying to be the bad guy and being vulnerable at times and also being a good guy and just... I think it just showcases what all he can do.
Right. I don't think he's so much of a bad guy. I mean, really.
Right, I don't either.
And that's kind of what he's shown in Loki, that Loki may not be just the terrible guy that everybody thinks that Loki is.
Right, right.
Maybe misunderstood about some things, but...
To a certain degree, it humanizes him.
Right.
Right.
You know, and you see, well, okay, there's always a reason, or typically there's a reason people act the way they do. You know, you look at this person and say, well, they're just a bad person. They're just a bad guy or bad girl or good, whatever. A lot of times there are reasons they're acting that way that you don't even know, you don't understand, you're not privy to. And I think
make you think of the movie The Joker.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I told people without really telling them the movie. Mm-hmm. There's a reason why he's the way he is.
Yeah,
There's a reason why he acts the way he acts.
Yeah, and the three of us having worked in corrections and having worked in a jail environment, I think we can say in real time, in real life situations, we've seen people that folks would say, it would blow their minds to know how they acted or how the decisions they made. But when you got to know them and you talked to them and got to understand a few things, you're like, okay.
Makes sense.
I get it now. I understand now. And I'm not making excuses for them. I'm just saying.
No, but you understand.
Yeah, there's a logic. Whether it be good logic, whether it be not making a moral judgment, but you can see why A leads to B leads to C with some, with people.
Right. So, Jason, give me your take on Loki so far. And, you know, I'm sure we've all read some of the theories based around the show. Mm-hmm. I know I have. I get into the theories on the show and what might happen. We've discussed theories that we've had that have come to fruition in the MCU.
Yes, yes.
My take on the TVA, I was kind of confused in that first episode.
Yeah.
And even in the second episode, because the TVA didn't make sense to me.
Right.
And now, you know, five episodes in, we see the TVA is not all that...
It's not as big a deal as we thought.
Yeah, it's nothing. I don't really think there's anybody watching over the timeline.
I don't either. It seems to be just some type of bureaucracy that's been set up to maintain someone's ability to enforce power and to say, you know what? Nope, I'm not going to have that in the timeline. Eliminate it.
Right.
And it's under the guise of, oh, we're trying to protect the sacred timeline. You know, it's just like their religion.
And see, my into episode five, you know, up to that point, I thought when they shot them with whatever they shot them with and they dissolved, they were just gone.
I thought they were gone, yeah.
But they're not. There's like a, what do you call it?
Spoiler alert.
Right. It's a spoiler alert, guys. You know we're going to put it out there.
Oh, yeah.
What is that thing they talk about in the Catholic religion that...
Purgatory.
Purgatory. It's kind of like they go to purgatory.
Yeah, they call it the void.
The void. Yeah.
The void.
And honestly, you know, once we saw that the timekeepers wasn't real and it was episode four.
Yes.
They're just robots sitting in a room and everybody just avoided it.
Exactly. And because they thought, they were under the impression, oh, these guys.
And one of the timekeepers... looks like Kang the Conqueror.
Yes. Yes.
So my thing is, I think Kang is trying to control things. Cause that's his thing, a time traveler.
Timeline.
Right.
And he's related to...
Reed Richards.
Reed Richards.
Yes. So, allegedly, he is a descendant of Reed Richards.
So, you know, that's going to be interesting in the last episode to see where they go with it and see if Kang gets introduced. You know, we close episode 5 out. Loki and...
Sylvie.
Sylvie find a way to escape the void.
Yes.
Because they gave Owen Wilson's character Morbius.
They gave him
the Atlas?
Yes, yeah.
Where they could move in and out of timelines?
Exactly. It opens a doorway through time.
So they found a way out, and they're about to discover, I think, who's behind the whole thing.
Yeah, they're headed to that castle.
The castle, yeah.
And, you know, the two operating theories right now that are out there, of course, number one is that that is Chronopolis, and that's Kang the Conqueror. And one reason people say that is because the big smoke monster that was on there, Eliath. Yeah. In the comics, that character is directly tied to Kang.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like one, but that could also be misdirection.
Right.
Because another theory is that they're going to get there, and it's going to be yet another variant of Loki that's in the comics, King Loki, who is a much older version, who becomes a very powerful Loki. And so, you know, which would be somewhat ironic that they go through time, or that you go through all this just to find out Loki's been the one who set the whole thing up to start with, a version of Loki.
Yeah, and then our timeline, Loki's like, what's going on?
Yeah, exactly.
Are you messing with me?
Now, that would be interesting. I'm a fan for bringing Kang because we know he's going to be in the Ant-Man movie, Quantumania. Mm-hmm. We feel like this guy's going to be the next big villain, Thanos level, for the next few years, working behind the scenes. He's definitely a Fantastic Four villain, and they're coming along. He's fought the Avengers, hates the Avengers. The armor that he wears was something that he designed based on Dr. Doom's armor design. Yeah. So he kind of is like almost, he's connected to and touches the very fabric of every different character in Marvel.
Right.
Even to the X-Men with Apocalypse when he was first introduced.
Yeah.
So, you know, that would be opening up a whole huge thing.
I really enjoyed the comic side of it. I loved, like I said, we've talked about Tom Hiddleston. I love his comic relief to any of the Marvel movies have been. Even when he was like the big bad villain in the original Avengers.
Yeah, he was good.
You still got that comic.
Yes, yes.
And one of my favorite sequences in the Avenger movies with Loki was when Hulk is slamming him around in Stark Tower.
Like a rag doll.
Puny God.
Yeah, Yeah, it was great. I mean, you want to like Loki. You can't help it. You want to like it.
Yeah, I mean, I do. I mean, I think Loki's a great character. I think he's and I don't think he's, I don't think he's done with the MCU yet. I've read a lot of theories about it, and even some tidbits in the show when he's in the 5th episode where he's talking to the older Loki about how he escaped Thanos.
Yeah.
He projected himself, and that's how he got away.
Yeah.
And theories I've read, and some other folks may have already read them, and we discussed them pre-show.
Mm-hmm.
Loki is right-handed.
Mm-hmm.
In every scene you see Loki, and he's using a sword or knife or dagger, whatever, right-handed, except for when he's projecting himself.
Right.
When he attacks Thanos in Endgame, he uses his left hand. When he tries to stab Thanos and Thanos picks him up and snaps his neck, he's using his left hand. So, going back, I mean, this may be a way for Tom Hiddleston to still be in the fold. He's going to end up showing back up, and everything's going to be great.
Yeah, I mean, that would
be. So, theoretically, the variant, the Loki, the main character Loki, is just a variant of our Loki. And our Loki's still hiding somewhere.
That's possible.
Because Thor floated off into space. He was a god. Yeah. Loki's a god. He floated off into space.
It, really, anything. You could go in any direction with this.
And we'll get into more of these theories once we're going to discuss Black Widow as well, because I think we've all seen it. I've seen it a couple times. Jason's seen it a couple times. Billy's seen it once.
Yes, yes. And it's, I'm going to tell you right now, Black Widow is swinging for the fence, man. It's doing good.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah.
So anyway, close out on Loki. Last episode's hitting Wednesday.
Yes.
I deeply imagine they're going to introduce Kang the Conqueror. Or something of that form.
Let's just go ahead and say it right now. You go with Kang. I'm going to go with a variant of Loki.
A variant of Loki.
You know, then we'll just see what comes out and see if either one of us are right, or if we're both wrong.
Now, do you think Loki is still alive in the main MCU timeline?
I don't know. At this point right now, I've made so many bad calls.
Well, we all have. We have since the beginning of the podcast, yeah, talking about the MCU. We've made some bad calls.
Yeah.
But we've also been right on the point about something.
We have been right on it at different times. I believe if he is not, then he's going to find a way. I mean, he will find, just like he says in that episode when he is, it's the timekeepers he's confronting, and he said, "Loki's, we die and we survive. We come back.
And man, some of the variants are hilarious. I know Billy hadn't got as far as we have yet.
Yes.
But the alligator Loki.
Yes. I love the I love the alligator. When he bites the hand off.
Yeah. Of President Loki.
I screamed.
I died.
It was awesome. It was great. And then you've got Boastful Loki, who has the fake Mjolnir.
Yeah.
And then Kid Loki, who's actually pretty bad dude.
Yeah.
And
killed Thor in his timeline.
And then I call him Old School Loki, you know, from the comics.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. He impressed me. He was good.
It's an incredible show. I've enjoyed it. Yeah. Like I said, I think I've enjoyed it probably the most of the shows. I loved WandaVision.
WandaVision.
I felt WandaVision was a little rushed.
Yeah, I felt like it was rushed, but I think WandaVision takes the prize for originality.
Yeah.
I mean, that was, you just don't see that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just impressive for its originality.
Right. So, we'll talk about the last episode of Loki on our next show. Sure, it'll be a couple weeks, week maybe, I don't know. So, Black Widow. We've been waiting how long for Black Widow to release? 2 years?
2 years, yeah. 2 years because we expected it in 2020. We waited a year. Didn't get it because of COVID. Then we had to wait another year to get it.
That's it. So, we all thought, I think at some point, that it's going to be a backstory on Natasha.
Yeah.
We're going to learn about Budapest.
He's going to go back in time.
How does she pronounce it? Budapest?
Budapest.
That's it. So we all thought it was going to be a backstory. And as the opening scene, you kind of think, hey, this is going to be a backstory.
It's what you anticipate.
But it's not.
Right. It's not.
They're living as a family unit. Her, the Red Guardian, and then the names,
Yelena
Belova and Melina. Is that the mother's name, right?
Yes, Melina.
So, opening scene, they're living as a family unit, and the Red Guardian shows up and says, it's time to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they get sent back to the girls get sent back to the Red Room, long story short, and then it breaks to the future, 21 years later.
Basically, it's a lot like that show that was on FX, The Americans, where they're secret Russian agents and they've integrated themselves into American society, and we don't know why at that time. They don't tell us. We just know that the Red Guardian's on a secret mission. We find out
living in Ohio.
We come to find out later that what it was they had infiltrated a SHIELD lab that was actually had Hydra scientists, and they had figured out a way to basically map the human brain.
That's it.
And to be able to weaponize free will.
Mm-hmm.
So their escape was awesome, but then you kind of see when they get back, hey, this is the reality of what's going on here. And you know, we talked about it earlier. Human trafficking, we have seen, especially of children, over the past several years has become a bigger and bigger issue. And they kind of, they really directly addressed that in this film.
Absolutely.
You know, because those kids were being trafficked for a purpose, and it was a nefarious purpose.
And that's where they got the Black Widows from.
That's
good writing, is what I call it.
Incredible writing. And smart thinking on Kevin Feige and everybody's part to put the movie together.
It was the closest thing I can relate it to as far as other Marvel films is Captain America and the Winter Soldier, because it was different from all the other MCU movies.
It was
like a political intrigue, you know, I mean, the way they did it, and it wasn't just a big explosions all over the place, that kind of a movie. It was just very interesting. Okay, you got this assassin, you got these guys who have taken over S.H.I.E.L.D., these turncoats, and I don't know, it had a different feel to it. And this movie had a different feel to it mm-hmm. than your typical.
So the opening scene 21 years later from the original where she was a kid, mm-hmm. it starts off basically at the end of Captain America Civil War.
Yes.
Yes, yes.
And they're all running from Thunderbolt. And Thunderbolt actually even mentions, hey, we've already got Ant-Man. We've already got Hawkeye.
He calls him the Incredible Shrinking Convict.
So she's on the run, and you know she's a very intelligent lady. She's already escaped Thunderbolt, and he don't even have a clue yet.
Yeah. But she does mention in her discussion with him, and I think this is something that's gonna come up later. She says, "You look like you need 3 weeks of bed rest." She said, "Are you on your second or third bypass?" Yeah. And he's like, "Don't worry about me."
Right.
You know.
So it's already turn. I see where you're going with this, Jason.
Yeah. Yeah,
Red Hulk.
Something. His health is in decline.
To save his life. You know, the serum and the gamma radiation and.
Yeah, I think something's, and that's what they're leading us to.
I figure we're going to have a Thunderbolts movie at some point.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
Don't know whether the actor that's portraying Thunderbolt Ross will make it that long to film him because he is older.
William Hurt. Let me look up how old he. He's been around. Gosh, since the 70s. And
you can see the decline in his health from the end credit scene in Iron Man.
Yeah.
Or was it the Incredible Hulk or Iron Man? The end credit scene with Tony Stark and Hulk. The bar. Hulk. Mm-hmm. You can tell just from that point of his health and how he looks to now it's incredibly different.
Well, and he played in the original Iron Man, he also played Obadiah Stane. That was William Hurt.
Wow.
And he looked... And then you got to think that's been, 13 years ago
or
so? He looked much healthier, but at this time, he is 71.
Wow. Yeah, 71. You can't imagine as far as any action scenes. Obviously, with the Hulk, you're gonna have CGI.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And another character, you know, doing the motion sensing with all the monitors. And you're going to see that movie at some point.
Yeah, he has been in, he debuted in 1980. In the movie Altered States, you remember that? In the movie Altered States, he won a Golden Globe for that. But so he's been around for a while. Children of a Lesser God was one of his big movies about deaf people. Kiss of the Spider Woman, I remember that when I was a kid. That was another big one. The Big Chill, that was another big one. I mean, he's been in a lot. He's a very respected actor.
Absolutely, and he's great. And he plays the part of Thunderbolt Ross beautifully, I feel.
Oh, he's perfect. But like you said, he's 71.
He's 71 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So the bad guy, really, I guess, it was, what do they call him in the movie? The guy over the Black Widow?
Dracoff.
That Romanoff thought she'd killed, and she finds out she hadn't killed him.
Yeah.
He just stepped his game up a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
And we get introduced to Taskmaster, which is basically the henchman. We find out later on in the movie it's Dracoff's daughter.
Right.
That Natasha thought she had killed.
Exactly. And you go back to the original Avengers, when Natasha is interrogating Loki aboard the helicarrier, you know, she's having this dialogue with him, and he's like, "Why do you want to save Clint Barton, these people? Why do you care?" And she's like, "I've got red in my ledger, and I want to get it out." And he says, you know, ask her, "Can you really get that much red out?" And he says, "Dracoff's daughter."
Right.
And we didn't know what Dracoff's daughter was.
We didn't have a clue what he was talking about.
Right.
Kevin Feige and Marvel has been planning this for years. 10 years.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Been planning this moment for the Black Widow movie.
Right. And what it turns out is she thought she had murdered his daughter. Because for her to get out of the Black Widow program and Clint Barton, and they still haven't explained how they met or what all went down with that.
See, I would like to see a backstory on them. There was a love interest there at one time.
There was something. I mean, I wonder if maybe S.H.I.E.L.D. sent him to either get some information or to kill her.
Or eliminate her.
And so to get her out,
and
they say, "We got to kill this guy."
And the opening scene in Budapest, there's arrow marks on the walls.
That's right.
Because Elena Belova asked about them.
Yeah,
what kind of bullet holes are these?
Yeah, it's not bullets, it's arrows.
It's arrows.
Yeah. And who shoots arrows?
Hawkeye.
Hawkeye.
So, you know, but she thinks she kills the daughter because she sees the daughter in the room when the bomb goes off. And she's like, oh, my God, I've killed the daughter, but I had to do it to get to him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so didn't work out.
The daughter ends up being the taskmaster.
She ends up.
And I was like,
spoiler alert.
Right, guys. If you're listening to this, we're talking about the movie. Yeah, we don't care. We've seen it. Y'all should have done
the same. We might need to put in our description a big spoiler alert.
We can do that. Absolutely. I was a little disappointed with the Taskmaster character. In the meat of the movie, I was disappointed.
Yeah.
Now, going toward the end of the movie, when I see she survives.
Yes.
There's still room there. You still use that character going forward. Mm-hmm. Because that character, that villain, is a part of many storylines. Spider-Man, for instance.
Yeah. I kind of hoped for a little bit more traditional Taskmaster. But we got what we got. Now, as far as the action with the Taskmaster, it was incredible.
Man. And this movie was action-packed the whole time.
Oh, it was action-packed. When she is driving away from her trailer and headed into town and gets to the bridge, and then the
fireball hits her.
Fireball did that. I jumped.
I mean, I was like, that. Whoa, already?
Yeah. And then there we see, here comes the Taskmaster. Mm-hmm. And the Taskmaster, I'm going to tell you, man, the way they did her up in this movie, she is one bad lady.
I wish we could have got the skull mask, but, you know,
we got a half skull.
The Japanese and Chinese being what they are.
I think it's mainly Chinese.
Yeah, they don't depict the skulls in film.
Yeah, there's some kind of prohibition on that. I don't understand what that is, but, right. You know.
It's a big market for Marvel, so, I mean, I guess you got to appease the people.
It's their second biggest market, right. I think.
Outside the United States?
Yeah, outside the United States. But, you know, just the way that the Taskmaster moved, the sword, the shield, it was just...
And David Harbour's Red Guardian, absolutely great.
Fantastic.
Right.
He was hilarious.
I think, you know, and I'd like to see
him. But he's still alive, that's what I like.
Yeah.
So he can come back later
and right.
Mm-hmm.
Be in shape and kick butt.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I would like to see another movie with just the Red Guardian in it.
Oh, I would too. I'd love to see that.
I think it'd be fantastic.
Or if they could bring in, you know, in Russia they had their own quote unquote version of
the Avengers. Yeah, they had a bear. They had a
the bear Red was Guardian. Ursa Major.
Yeah,
and then they had someone who was the Crimson Dynamo, which would had like a tone
like an yeah, Iron Man like type. An, yeah.
And yeah,
but they referred to that too in the movie. She called him
a
Crimson Dynamo. Yep, yeah.
Several times she used different names.
Yeah. So I thought it was great. Let's see. Now, another thing that kind of threw me off is we thought the actor who was playing her contact, who was the former SHIELD agent, who was procuring different weapons for right. that actor's name, and I'm sure I'm not pronouncing this right, is O.T. Fogbini, something like that. I thought he was going to be playing the Taskmaster.
Well, that's what we did. We discussed that at one
yes,
point.
Yes, we did.
We didn't know it was going to be a female at the time.
Had no idea. No that point. Was a shock. When Dracov walks over and he goes behind the Taskmaster and he says, say hello, I thought it was going to be that guy. And then it's his daughter.
You know, as far as the look, as soon as I seen it, I knew who it was. From comics, the way that it looked, I knew. Yeah. I didn't have to guess. Hey, who's that? I knew immediately who it was.
Taskmaster. Yeah. No doubt.
We knew Taskmaster was going to be in the show, so I mean that was a given.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I thought Florence Pugh playing Yelena Belova was fantastic.
Beautiful.
She was funny. She was just on the mark, and I think you know if this is it for Scarlett Johansson, she will be a worthy successor.
And we've discussed that prior, I mean, after Endgame, and we knew Natasha died. But, you know, there's a bunch of theories out there. And
there are, that she's still around.
I like the theories that when Steve took the Soul Stone back to Vormir, you know, it was a soul for a soul.
Soul for a soul.
So right. Steve gets a soul back.
Maybe he bought it. Maybe he bought her back. Who knows? You know?
I would like to see a cut scene or something with him and Red Skull together when he's taking the Soul Stone back.
I want to see some more Red Skull. To me, he's too big of a character to just have one film.
Right. And maybe we'll get to see it in the future.
Maybe so. I hope so. You know, this movie, of course, was delayed because of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was worth the wait.
Yeah, buddy, it was great. Action-packed. The acting was beautiful.
Yeah. there's very little you can really complain about.
I can't complain about nothing. They used a bunch of stuff, like we discussed, with Dracoff's daughter from 10 years ago that they talked about.
Yes. The only thing they didn't do...
Which means to me that Kevin Feige don't miss anything. Miss an opportunity to tie something together.
No. That, I mean, it's there is no wasted time in those, in his productions. No wasted lines, no wasted scenes.
It could be a minute thing like Loki saying, what about Dracoff's daughter?
Yeah, what about Dracoff's daughter? And the whole time, like, who is Dracoff?
What is this?
Yeah, what is this?
And then you get to the end, Thunderbolt's obviously coming after Natasha again because he knows, hey, something this big, she's a part of it.
Oh, she's got to be there. Let's get her.
You have all these Black Widows that have their brainwashing's been wiped away from the the serum.
Yeah,
And then you've got Taskmaster still alive. You got the Red Guardian still alive. You got Elena still alive. Melina still alive. I mean, it's just there's so many more directions they can go with this. What are all these Black Widows going to do?
You got to think at some point. It's going to be a situation where we haven't seen them for a while, and all of a sudden somebody says, listen, I know some folks that can help us, and then they show up.
And why didn't they show up in Endgame?
Ooh.
But then that would give the Black Widow movie basically away.
It would give it away. Yeah, it would give it away. You're right. It would give it away. And probably, but I don't know that Natasha had told everyone about what had happened.
Right.
You know, so... Doctor Strange may have not. And if known I'm not mistaken,
the vest that Elena gives her that she had, you know, they're talking about the pockets.
Mm-hmm.
She's wearing that in Endgame when she's sitting in the Avengers compound. I believe she's wearing that still.
Oh wow! I'm going to go back and look at that.
I am too. I've got to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now,
what about the end credit scene?
Awesome.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Basically, you know, that's after Endgame. Natasha's dead.
Mm-hmm.
Or they think she's dead.
Yes.
I still theorize that she's alive. But that ties to me, that ties Captain America and the Winter Soldier
mm-hmm.
into the end credits scene. Also ties it into Hawkeye.
Yeah.
Because we have seen clips of the Hawkeye show. We know that somebody's coming after Clint's daughter.
Right.
So.
I think that's definitely... I don't see how she can't be in the Hawkeye show.
Right.
I just don't see.
And maybe they're only, you know, maybe that's what they're going to use her for from here on out. They're going to use her in the TV shows, but I think she's too good of an actress, good of a character to not bring into the movies.
I agree.
In the movies.
I agree. I believe that Julia Louis-Dreyfus's character, Valentina Allegra de Fontaine de Calval,
right.
I believe she is assembling a group that will become the Thunderbolts.
Right. You think she's working for Thunderbolt Ross?
I do. She's already got John Walker. Mm-hmm. If you watch the Falcon and the Winter Soldier show, now she's got Yelena Belova. In the comics, they are both members of the Thunderbolts. Baron Zemo, we're going to see him again.
He's still around.
Yeah, he's a member of the Thunderbolts. You know, the new we haven't talked about the Shang-Chi trailer, but we know an Abomination's in there.
And I just watched, shamefully, I just watched that trailer just before the show today, guys.
Right.
We do see Abomination in there. That's another cog in the Thunderbolts there.
Exactly. So, and the Taskmaster at some point is a member of the Thunderbolts.
And she's still alive. Granted, her mind's been released, I guess, from Dracoff's implants.
Right.
But and that kind of brightens my day up, too, with the Thunderbolts coming around.
Yes.
Because a character that we thought maybe was getting toward the end of a story arc, the Hulk, Mark Ruffalo's character, I thought, you know, after Endgame, he's not going to be a big character in the MCU anymore.
It was rumored. It was, yeah.
With the Thunderbolts coming around, you can't have the Thunderbolts without the Hulk.
You can't, and you have the She-Hulk show coming out.
Right, which he's going to be a... big part of.
Exactly. I think the Hulk character is going to catch a second wind.
I hope so, and I hope we get another Hulk movie.
We need, you know,
with Universal still having some play in that.
Yeah, I don't know how well they're playing ball with Disney, but you know, the Hulk is the only major Avenger that hasn't had another film,
right? And not a great film. And I think The Incredible Hulk was a good movie, I guess, but it wasn't like the rest of them.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't like
that. And it was kind of just inserted in the MCU. It wasn't really...
And
then you had the change of character for the Hulk.
Yeah. For years, I thought it was not going to be part of the MCU. I thought it was just going to be like a mistake.
Right.
Like, oh, well, let's forget that happened.
Yeah, and you can't have the Avengers without the Hulk.
No. No, he is. I mean, you've got a handful of characters that everybody in the USA who knows anything about that kind of stuff knows. They know Superman. They know Batman. They know Captain America. They know the Hulk.
Yeah.
And Spider-Man. Those are the five biggest. And, well, Wonder Woman. I'll throw her in there, too.
Right.
So the six big ones.
That's it. But, yeah, I mean, Billy, what'd you think of Black Widow? I mean, me and Jason were sitting here talking.
I expected it to be like you were talking about, like, maybe from her, Natasha's childhood on up through her training or whatever, but it skipped and went to the storyline after Civil War where she's kind of, I guess, when you come on the lam.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it.
Yeah, and like I said, it's a beautiful show, great action, great storyline. Kevin Feige don't miss a beat with anything.
Right.
And, you know, going forward, we have a lot of Marvel movies coming out this year. Me and Jason was discussing it before the show. You know, we just had Black Widow release in August. We don't have a movie, I don't think. Yeah, we do. We have two movies dropping in August. Let me pull that back up here. Maybe September. DC's got another Suicide Squad coming out. Mm-hmm. Maybe
I saw the
Suicide Squad.
I saw the
trailer. See here. In September, we have Shang-Chi. So it's going to skip August. We're not going to have a movie in August. September 3rd, Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings comes out. As well as Venom 2 comes out September 24th. And it's been confirmed that Sony's MCU and Marvel's MCU is coinciding with each other. So they're part of the same cinematic universe. And it's rumored that Spider-Man is going to show up at some point in Venom 2.
Makes sense to me. I hope so.
I mean, yeah, if you look at the comics, I mean, yes. What is Venom without Spider-Man?
Yeah, they're kind of tied together in a way you can't get away from.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, September, we have Venom 2 and Shang-Chi, and then October. Jason, do you remember did we have a Marvel movie in October? So August and October, we don't have a Marvel movie, but we've got Spider-Man No Way Home dropping in December, and then The Eternals in November, November 5th will drop, and Morbius will come out January 21st, 2020. So we've got a lot of Marvel movies coming out this year, and then next year, I mean, it's wide open again, right, Jason?
Oh, yeah. Will next year be still Phase 4, or will it be considered Phase 5?
It may still be Phase 4. Half the year may still be Phase 4.
Okay.
Because they've been going every 2 years on a phase, I believe.
Right. And that will, next year will be the Doctor Strange movie.
Doctor Strange, Thor Love and Thunder. Guardians of the Galaxy 3, I believe.
Yes. Yes.
Ant-Man 2? No, yes. It'll be Ant-Man 3.
Ant-Man of the Wasp 3. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So next year's loaded up again.
Yeah.
Every couple months, we're going to have a movie dropping.
We forgot one. In August, we've got Suicide Squad.
I just mentioned that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed. Okay.
Which is DC, but all the same, we're all comic book nerds here, so it's
going
to get watched.
Absolutely.
I still hate what DC's doing.
Because,
you know, the rebooting of Batman, and then Henry Cavill is supposed to be coming back again to portray his role as Superman.
It's hard for me to keep up with them at this point.
I can't.
I mean,
and I think the Batman,
we kind of hold them to Marvel standard, and
yeah,
that's hard to do.
Hard to keep up with.
I'm not trying to be ugly or mean. That's just a fact.
And I think Robert Pattinson's Batman is going to be great because, I mean, it's going back to year one of Batman.
Yeah, I think it's going
to. I think it's going to be a great movie, but they're never going to be able to tie their continuity together like Marvel has.
It's going to be very, very loose.
Yeah.
Now, the Flash movie they're working on.
With Michael Keaton. I've seen some set photos of that.
Yeah. I think they're trying to use it to tie into it. But, you know, it's just...
It's different.
It's just different. I mean, with Disney, with them having, you know, the Marvel Studios and them having some autonomy to do their own thing, with DC, it just seems like there's not that central direction. Hey, this is it, guys. We're all working to create this storyline that all works together.
Yeah. At some point, we got to get together and go watch one of these Marvel movies together. We've been talking about it for years now.
Yeah, we could.
And we haven't done it.
We could do a record a review right after the film.
We could. You know, I watched Black Widow. I paid the $29 to on Disney Plus to sit at home and watch it.
Right.
And I've got access for it as long as I have Disney Plus.
Really?
Yeah, so once you pay that $29, you have premier access to it.
I thought it was just a one-time deal.
No.
Okay.
I called my daughter, my oldest daughter, on the way up here today, and I said, look, I went ahead and paid for that premier access to Black Widow. You and your brothers can watch it.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So, I mean, it's nice. And we did the same thing with Mulan, I think, when it came out. We paid for the premier access for it. It was pretty cool.
Right, right.
I just didn't remember getting to watch it more than once.
Right, right.
So, pretty cool. So, guys, we've talked about our Marvel. We've talked about Loki. We've talked about Black Widow in depth and some of our theories of the MCU going forward. Now, I think this episode, we need to close up this UFO talk.
Yeah, I think, you know, the congressional report has been released. The unclassified information has been released. It was provided by the office... The Office of the Director of National Intelligence in consultation with the Secretary of Defense. And this was provided to Congress as a way of explaining to them what they know and what they don't know about unidentified aerial phenomenon, or as we refer to them, UFOs. So, you know, I thought if we just kind of took our time and just went down through it and talked a little bit about
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. And I read the report, and I think both of you two gentlemen have as well.
Yes.
Something that I found very interesting about the report, and I hate to cut into it, but I know Billy's got a lot of notes. Billy always comes super prepared with notes.
Thank God somebody does.
Thank God, because I look at the theories, and I've read a lot of the theories that have come out after the report come out.
Right, right.
So there's 144 cases that was presented to Congress.
Right. Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
They can only explain one case out of 144.
And that explanation was that it was a deflating balloon. Mm-hmm.
That's it.
You know, what's the thing with balloons, man?
Well, that's been the story since Roswell.
Yeah, it's always a balloon.
It sure is.
So, I mean, tell me, I mean, how do you go all these years,
right,
and you can only explain one case, and you've denied to us for years of the existence of UFOs?
Okay. Right. Yeah.
And now you're coming out and saying, hey, look, there's a good possibility that we got aliens flying around.
Yeah, I mean, there's something here. And the thing about it was they never, in the report that I read, they never said we think this could be alien technology or otherworldly technology. Right. They basically said we've got five categories. And of the five, the four we know are baloney. I mean, because,
exactly.
Like
Project Blue Book stuff.
Yeah, Project Blue Book stuff that we talked about a few weeks ago.
And that
the fifth one they just called a catch-all box.
Yes. And Project Blue Book, to me now, after reading this stuff, this was just a cover-up because they didn't know.
Yeah.
Or they did know, and they didn't want to tell us at the time.
It's one of the two. You know, I find it very interesting in this report that they stuck with reports from 2004 till now.
Right. Didn't look at any of the previous stuff from the 50s.
Right.
The only thing about that sticks out in my mind about that is when they say that it's got advanced technology... You know, we're in 2021, but they were doing the same things in the 60s, in the 70s. You know, think about that.
Yeah. Well, and, part of it could be, too, that we just now have the technology to track it on different things. I know you go back to the 60s, they were tracking these things on radar.
Right.
I mean, The best they could, but now we're able to... get them on weapon systems, on infrared, and things like that, things that cannot be, you know, one of the things they say on here, and we'll go into it, is that, you know, some of this could be what they call spoofing, or just make...
Right.
You're going to tell me that we have pilots that we have spent millions of dollars training, and they're just going to fall
that's
for
what
it.
This is what the parts that, to me, that didn't make sense. All right, you've got 144 reports. Only one was explained. So you got 143 reports, and they say that they had limited data and inconsistencies in reporting, which makes it, well, they can't explain it because of that. But the pilots were U.S. Navy and military aviators that reported them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've got that right here. They said that the limited amount of high-quality reporting on unidentified aerial phenomena hampers our ability to draw firm conclusions about the nature or intent of UAPs.
143 cases that you can explain by U.S. Navy and military aviators.
Exactly.
Now, something that's kind of spooked me.
So where's the poor information here?
Something that spooked me in this, guys, in that report, how many times they mentioned threat?
I've got right here in the very start of it on scope and assumptions. It starts off, they use the word threat three times. Well, twice in the first paragraph. And once in the second paragraph. I'll just paraphrase these quickly. That the DNI, which is the Director of National Intelligence, in consultation with the Secretary of Defense, is to submit an intelligence assessment of the threat posed by unidentified aerial phenomena and the progress the Department of Defense Unidentified Aerial Phenomena Task Force has made in understanding this threat. Okay, now when you go down, this report provides an overview for policymakers of the challenges associated with characterizing the potential threat posed by UAP, while also providing a means to develop relevant processes, policies, technologies, and training for the U.S. military and other U.S. government personnel if and when they encounter UAP, so as to enhance the intelligent community's ability to understand the threat. Now, they're not coming out saying this is a threat, but they're coming out saying we think this could be a threat. We need to, and you know, you can kind of see where this is going.
Hey, they're saying we might need to pay more attention to this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it is a potential threat.
If for no other reason, I think they said there were 11 near misses, almost collisions with them.
Right. And that's part of their...
If for no other reason.
That's part of their concern here is that it's increasing the amount of traffic or clutter in the skies and that there could be a collision or some type of event. I buy that to a certain point because as far as I know, there's no record, even going back to the 40s or 50s, of one of these things colliding with an airplane. There's just nothing that exists that says that it's ever happened. Right. And plus, if they're doing these kind of maneuvers like they're saying, you know, I kind of feel like they're probably pretty well in control of their craft.
Yeah, they're not going to intentionally run into one of ours.
Right, they're not going to. It's just not going to happen.
And if they do run into one of ours, it was intentional.
It was intentional, and Katie barred the door.
That's it.
You know, we got trouble in the skies.
Waiting on Will Smith to yell, you know.
It's
time.
It's time to get down, sucker.
Right. One thing that kind of is hard for me to believe, of course, I ain't an expert on it or anything, is it says, and this is in page 5 of the document, only a handful of UAPs appear to demonstrate advanced technology. Only a handful. But how come you can't explain out of 143 cases, you can't explain them? But only a handful that they say demonstrates advanced technology.
The only thing that I can surmise from that is, and y'all have seen some of the pictures just like I have, some of the pictures, they can see an object that, and it's not exhibiting like a lot of maneuvers. It's just there.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't say, well, we can't say what that is. But we can't say that it's, you know, exhibiting a lot of unknown forms of propulsion, a lot of fast maneuvers. That's the only legitimate thing I can come up with that would back that. But beyond that...
And maybe it's just the sheer fact that the beings in the UFOs are not wanting to show off. They're just here checking us out.
Think of it this way. You know, when... You go to a zoo, you know, do you show off for the giraffes? No. You don't care if they see you.
I don't care. You're just there to see them.
Yeah, you're there observing them because they're no threat to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I can imagine, you know, whatever intelligence and abilities are employed by these phenomena, you know, what do they care? What do they care if we see them or don't see them? Because what are we going to do about it anyway? Mm-hmm. You know, seriously. I mean, they're observing, obviously. This goes back thousands of years. And, you know, they're checking things out. But, I mean, they have nothing to fear from us. It's kind of like us going to the to a petting zoo. You know, what do we have to fear from the miniature donkeys?
Absolutely.
You know, we don't try to hide and say, well, I'm going to conceal myself behind this bush so this miniature donkey doesn't know that I'm looking at it. No. So
even if they were good,
I mean, really.
Even if they were here to be a threat, we couldn't hold up to an advanced alien race.
We're done.
If they came here and they actually intended to cause us harm, there's not a damn thing this world can do for it.
All we got to hope is that they are kinder to us than we have been to each other.
Or we would be to them, because we would think be about them. Guys, yeah. I mean, if we got an alien body, a live one, think about all the tests that just the U.S. government alone would run
on. Oh, man. Yeah.
It wouldn't be like talking to a king from England. No. It would be, we're going to probe you, prod you. We're going to cut your head off.
Yeah.
Check you out.
We're going to, let's do some checking out here. Check it out. See what it's all about. You know, that's what would be going down.
Yeah, it's.
It's a race that is that advanced. Who knows? I know if you look at some of the things that Stephen Hawking has said, and a few other astrophysicists and theorists, it would probably be a very bad thing for us to actually come in contact, because historically, when two civilizations meet for the first time, the more technologically advanced one pretty much destroys the other one.
Oh, yeah, it comes out on top. It ain't like Independence Day where we get lucky.
Or War of the Worlds where a virus kills them off. Typically, it's like, listen, these folks are not developed. They are savages.
Science was just water.
Yeah. So
we're going to be Baptists. We're going to dunk you, and you're going to die.
And you're going to guess what? But you're going to be baptized. Isn't that great? But you know, so either that or just a pathogen. I mean, look, when the Europeans came to America, just the pathogens alone wiped out 90% of the native population.
That's it.
Without a shot being fired.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the only hope we have is giving the aliens AIDS. If we can put Walker County on the forefront of this war. Sorry, guys.
Okay, so. Oh, we've got that whipped already.
That's it.
They'd be that far ahead of us.
They're done.
It's over with.
So after I read the report, you know, obviously a lot of people read it, a lot of people saw it, a lot of people been waiting on the information to come out.
Yes.
A lot of theories have surfaced. A lot of articles have been written.
Oh, man. Articles are being written. Theories and are surfacing.
I see one every day.
I'm big into...
one or two every day.
Big into theories. I guess that's the nerdness in me. I like theories of actually, hey, this could actually be real.
The possibilities.
One theory I read, and this is a legitimate scientist that wrote this article, that the aliens are actually just time travelers from the future. Just coming back to check on us.
I have actually heard that theory, too, that they're possibly, because, you know, there's a lot coming out now about the unknown history of our species going back thousands, hundreds of thousands of years. There are theories out there that Earth has gone through periods of advancement and then cataclysm,
mm-hmm.
and you know, just kind of a cycle, something similar to what the Indians, their Vedic cycle, you know,
the Ice Age,
destruction,
I mean,
and rebirth,
the Ice Age, the flood, I mean,
right, all kinds of stuff. So, you know, that theory that you're saying there, I have heard that at some point, what if they were advanced enough? I mean, you got to look at where we've come in 100 years.
Hieroglyphs from ancient Egypt that portrays UFOs.
Right. I mean, it's just all out there.
Gods that people in Egypt have wrote on stone walls that
came from the heavens.
That came from the heavens.
Yeah.
Right. That sucks. Don't have all that.
ancient alien type.
Right, right.
Type of thing.
Right. And there's just kind of, there are common threads throughout all the ancient civilizations.
And they still don't know how the hell the pyramids got built.
No. They're much older than what we thought.
Yeah, I mean, they have no idea.
They're figuring out now they're much older.
The Aztec temples, they don't know how they were built.
Right, right. That would be a good show to do at some point, just on
ancient civilizations.
Ancient civilizations. I mean, that could be a series. But, you know, I believe they are starting to figure out now that there's a lot to it, that these things go back much further than what we thought. Göbekli Tepe, being dated at 12,000 years old, really blew the lid off of it.
Yeah.
You know, like, wait. We thought 6,000 was about as old as it got. But these daggum guys would go back 12,000. Well, what in the world are we going to do now? And so, you know, the pyramids, the Sphinx, they've looked at that. Robert Schock has looked at the weathering on the Sphinx and said, you know, this thing goes back probably 10,000 years. So it's just, you know, maybe some of these ancient cultures we thought built this stuff found this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and they just, because the Egyptians were notorious for once a guy would become king or pharaoh, the ones before him that they didn't like, they would just kind of get rid of them, you know,
erase them from history.
Try to erase them from history, and it'd be like if I built this house, and then say there's a plaque on the house that says, "Boy, Jason Akins built this house, and boy, ain't it nice." And then I die, and some people buy it, and they move in, and they take that down, and they say, "Well, no, Ben Smith built this house, ain't it nice?" You know, that's kind of what they did. So you got to wonder, well, my goodness, if that's true, then how reliable is their information?
I mean, that makes you question the whole entirety of our history.
It really does, and it should make us question it, because I think there are missing pieces, huge missing pieces.
Everywhere. Even in just the United States history.
Oh, yeah.
As young as our country is compared to others.
Well, we grew up being told that everybody came over here on a land bridge from Siberia, I can't remember how many thousands of years ago, and that it was the Clovis people. They were the first humans in North America. There was nobody else. Well, now they have found evidence of folks going back tens of thousands of years before that. So, yeah. And they could have come up from South America and come over from some of the islands and just, you know, migrated. They've got evidence of Irish explorers, Chinese explorers, Vikings. We know for sure. Going back 1,000 years before Columbus.
Absolutely.
So, you know, there's just...
The Vikings could have been here before Columbus, and we just don't know it, because the Vikings, if you... And I've been studying the Viking history because I've been watching the Viking TV show. Mm-hmm. They did not keep a historical log.
Mm-mm. It was mostly oral.
It was oral. They told stories.
Yeah, they told stories. Kind of like we do on this show.
Right.
We don't...
Story building.
Yes, right. We're story building. So
we're still waiting on Kevin Feige to call us to come write for Marvel.
If he would, man, we could do a bang-up job. We got an illustrator.
I do writing by picture, though.
Oh, that's right.
I don't write out a script. I picture in my mind how the picture's going to look.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, we got that. We got a storyteller and a hype man.
I mean,
can hype it up.
What I'm getting at with all this, and I know we kind of got away from the UFOs, but there is ancient cultures from eons into our history, the human race that have depicted UFOs.
Right. But now, since you brought it up, let me go back to another thing about this report. Okay, folks, we're going back to the UFO report.
We're getting back to the report, guys. Right.
Five potential explanatory categories that Director of National Intelligence and the Secretary of Defense said that could explain these phenomena are airborne clutter. I don't know what that means. I guess that's...
I got it right. You got it?
You got it right here.
Okay.
I guess that's balloons. Natural atmospheric phenomena. You know, they're seeing Venus, or they're seeing a temperature inversion or something like that. United States government or U.S. industry developmental programs. I don't believe that for a second. We don't have that, and neither do any companies. Foreign adversary systems, they're behind us. They don't got that either. And a catch-all other bin. Now, that's where the gold's in. The gold is in the catch-all other bin. They don't want to come out and say, right, alien technology.
Right, they're not going to say that.
No.
All they've done really to me is what I think Brandon said this in the last podcast, is create more questions than answers.
Yeah, yeah. More questions than answers. I'll tell you something that I saw in here, too, going back to what y'all were saying about the 144 reports that originated from, and these 144, this wasn't me and Billy and Brandon calling it, and this was from U.S. government sources. Of those, 80 of those reports were observed using multiple sensors.
Right.
80.
80.
So, and then most reports described UAP as objects that interrupted pre-planned training or other military activity. Now, we've talked about that before.
Military, sure did.
Military bases, military trainings.
Nuclear.
Military training, guys. So why would the aliens be trying to interrupt military training? Like you're saying, Jason, they're seeing a lot of sightings during military operations. Mm-hmm. What do you think the reason for that is? You're trying to see what we're capable of?
That's possible. There could be.
Okay.
Did y'all hear that?
That's wild.
Or there could be something else going on. I don't know. I think it's to observe. I'm gonna let Billy talk about that a little bit because
what I wrote down from the guy that wrote this article about the U.S. Navy ship USS Omaha on April 15th, 2019 had encounters with UFOs of up to 14 different bogies. And it's recorded. Now you can watch some of it on the video. But the guy wrote the article, and I jotted that. It's down. It says they are penetrating, and they are incursions in our most restricted airspace around our nuclear weapons.
Mm-hmm.
And the government is not saying anything about it.
Mm.
And there's a pattern that we talked about that the last podcast, not just here, but other countries.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's the thing about it. You know, I don't want people to take this report, and skeptics will. And it's good to have some skepticism, you know, but skeptics will take this and say, well, see, obviously there's nothing or the government would have said. You know, but no, that's not the case at all. Because there are thousands of cases where military aviators, infantry, all kinds of military operators have come across something like this that they could not explain, and it showed up on radar, it showed up on this system or that system, and maybe at the time it was obviously more primitive than what we have now, but still it was there.
Still there.
None of those cases were taken into account in this report.
Right. You remember the guy from NASA said that, just paraphrasing, said, hey, they were told to make a report on these, and said when he tried to do it, the higher-ups wouldn't even take him serious.
Right, exactly. Mm. So, you know, I think this report, I don't see it as a letdown or a defeat or anything like that. I see it as a first step.
Right. Because they're admitting, hey, something's there. And the notes that I took is they felt like that the only reason they done that is they were forced to.
Yeah.
Because they're Democrats and Republicans both pressured them and said, hey, we want to know.
We want to know.
And if it hadn't been for that, they wouldn't even have put forth what they did.
Exactly.
You know, some of the reports that I seen on TV was the start of that section of the news about UFOs after the report came out was, guess what? The government didn't say they were aliens.
Right.
Didn't say they wasn't either, though.
Right. I mean, but they were just, to me, sort of like that was their thing, was trying to say, hey, all you people that were waiting on the government to say they were aliens, guess what? They didn't. That's the way I took it.
Mm-hmm.
But even though they didn't say that, they said, well, there was no evidence of that.
Right.
But they didn't say that wasn't what it was, or right, couldn't be, or whatever.
Right. And basically they said, listen, we know we have to start keeping up with this stuff. You know, so what we need is we're trying to start a process
to be able to better evaluate it and categorize it,
right,
so that across the board, the military, they all have something that, that makes right. sense and works together.
This is from the BBC. It's from former Senator Reid. He said, other countries are studying the issue. We know that China is doing it. He told Nevada newsmakers in 2019, we know that Russia, which is led by someone within the KGB, is doing it too. So we better take a look at it too.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
It's going to be a race kind of like the moon landing. Who's going to
Who's
going to discover it first? You know, the United States don't like being last.
Right, right. I think it behooves us. We may not be able to get something very concrete because, you know, my God, if those pictures and reports are the best we can do, that might be the best we can do. But if the government can just say, listen, we are taking this seriously.
Right.
And we do have a method of reporting this and processing it. And no, guess what? You're not crazy.
And then that may be the best the government can do, like you said. I mean, it's just the best
kinda
they can report it.
Sounds like that we don't even have the technology to effectively study it.
I think that might be the case. We do not have, but this could spur development
right.
to things that might assist
things
with
it. Kind of headed that way now.
Yes, yes. And as private industry, you have, of course, Elon Musk, what he's doing. I think Richard Branson's Virgin Galactic finally made a flight, a successful flight. Of course, you have Bigelow Industries, which is big into the industrial space exploration, and they're some of the leaders in this area.
And see, I think, you know, you brought up Elon Musk. I think he is smarter beyond a lot of people's understanding.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah,
he may be the first one to come out and show us proof.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't doubt it. He's somewhere else, man.
He's building rockets, building cars. I mean,
yeah.
Amongst the other things that he's done, like PayPal.
Well, and he doesn't just start those companies and walk off.
No.
He's involved in every one of them.
Every one.
I mean, the guy works crazy hours. Crazy hours.
I mean, that guy's got to have an extra hour in his day.
Something, man. I don't think he has any wasted time.
None.
You know, he doesn't do like me and sit around watching YouTube.
And get lost for hours.
Yeah, no doubt.
He don't have the time for that.
No. So I think, you know, we've kind of, with this congressional report, it's kind of like we've come to a close. I'll say this, kind of like Winston Churchill said when Britain was involved in first getting involved in World War II and involved in Africa fighting Rommel. He said, I don't think this is the beginning of the end. I think this is the end of the beginning. I think what we're seeing right now is the end of the beginning. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
We got
to give us credit on this right here, because when I read them, I didn't read the report. I read the news articles about the report.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, you know, that's exactly what we said in the last podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right, like this is notes from their previous podcast. Two guys in a podcast, Ash and Akins, Is Their Life Out There, aired June the 13th. It says, this is Luis Elizondo, it's not something secret that we have.
Mm-hmm.
We would know. He would know. It's not Russia. It's not China. That's what in the report. It's not an adversary like Russia or China.
Exactly.
Go
ahead and mark that off your list.
Right. That was an hour and 2 minutes into the podcast. This one is 59 minutes and 18 seconds. Brandon says, they exist. We've been tracking them for decades. And Jay said, there's something there, folks. This is about all we know. There's something out there that's not baloney. Well, it confirmed that.
Yeah, confirmed that.
Also, the erratic flight. The advanced technology at 104 minutes, as Brandon says, these sightings are making unnatural moves, traveling at speeds that we can't match. And Jason, there are no signs of propulsion. And that was in Defy Natural Laws of Gravity. That was defines no signs of propulsion. That's in the report.
Right, right.
Also, we talked about the military. It said it just seemed like they have a big interest in our military capabilities.
Yeah.
and that was also confirmed in the report. So all well, that we said in the podcast before the report came out.
We could have wrote this report. I mean, you know, really and truly, give us a few of the little data that they had that we didn't have. We could have wrote this stinking report.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No doubt.
We wouldn't
no
have
doubt.
The numbers like 144 and all that, but, oh, I mean.
That's all we needed. You know, and that's, I know the machinations of government move slowly, and but I will say this. There's something afoot because, you know, and credit goes to Luis Elizondo and to Deputy, I believe he was with the Department of Defense or Secretary of Defense, Mellon, who was, they both leaked this out and to the New York Times, to the History Channel, and told everyone that would listen, had they not done this, we might not be having this conversation. And then two, after this report was given, immediately on the Director of National Intelligence's website, Department of Defense's website, and several congressional websites, this information and an avenue for reporting it came up. So that tells me there are people operating within the government who have been, listen, this is coming, guys. Let's be ready for it. Let's be ready. But they know something. They know something. They've got the collective data. And they've got enough sense to say, listen, folks, if it walks like a duck and it talks like a duck, well, good chances are it's a duck. And if it's not a duck, well, good luck. You know,
absolutely. So. You know, I kind of too feel like that this might kind of hold people off for a little while, but they're going to be back wanting to know more.
Yes.
Well, I want to know.
I want to know more. Especially the advocates, the people who this is what they do. I mean, this is their life. They're going to be putting the pressure on them. And now you're going to have regular folks who are like, wait a minute.
Well, I mean, fact of the matter is, we're just regular guys that look into it and enjoy the topic.
Yeah.
And we're beating the government to stuff they're putting on reports.
Yeah. Well, stuff that we already said, hey, well, we already knew that.
I mean, what are we going to figure out next?
Man, there ain't no telling. There ain't no telling. But they may put us on the case.
I mean, we need to. It'd be the X-Files.
It would be the X-Files. It would be the X-Files. Oh, Lord.
Have you read any of the other crazy theories out there, Jason?
Man, I've read a lot of crazy stuff. I'll put it that way. You know, I kind of retreat from some of the crazier theories because I guess as I'm getting older, I'm getting more skeptical. But at the same time, I'm getting more firm in what I believe. You know, there for a while, I was kind of wishy-washy on UFOs. Now, after what we have seen and heard, you couldn't change my mind.
One of the theories I read came from a scientist that claims that he worked at Area 51 for like 20-something years.
Now, would that be, you know what I'm talking about?
If you know the name, I'll know it, but I can't think of it.
I don't know the name. I'm
talking about.
Yeah, I just remember reading the article.
Yes.
And the punchline in this article that he wrote was, they're real. They exist.
Yeah.
And he goes on to talk about how they could actually be living amongst us right now. We don't know it.
That was actually, that was from an astronaut, former British astronaut.
May have been.
You sent me that article.
I did.
Yes.
I did send you that one.
Yeah, I'm going to look that up right now. That was a former British astronaut. And that was really, really something right there. Let's see here.
Yeah, I know I sent you a couple. I tagged you in one, and then I sent you another one, a messenger, I believe.
You did. I believe that was sent an attachment. Humans are just alien containers.
Yeah, no, that's it.
I can't find where you tagged me in it, but it was a female, the first female British astronaut, and she said that. She said that it's most certainly there's no way that there are not several races or
okay, so it's come from an English news. The guy's name that claims he saw aliens while working at Area 51, Bob Lazar.
Bob Lazar, that's it. Bob Lazar.
The most well-known UFO researcher there is.
No doubt.
And he claims he saw them with his own eyes.
Yes. Yes. We need to do a show just on Bob Lazar.
I think so.
Gee whiz, that guy.
Yeah. And it just goes on and on and talking about different things he saw and, yeah, Good stuff. We may do a show just on that.
Sounds good to me.
Guys, it's been a great show. I think we've got all the information out that we can right now on this.
Mm-hmm.
They exist, folks.
There's something right. there.
Some people, and I bring this up every time because it's so true, that some people can't get past that hurdle that there is something there. And I'll tell people all the time, look, I'm just telling you, you can take it with a grain of salt. There's something there.
I mean, it's
absolutely real.
You can't even really explain it in a biblical. You can't explain it really in a biblical sense.
No, there's. I really don't know where you go with it. I don't know how you explain it. I mean, we've talked different things. You know, I do believe in the, you know, the theories concerning interdimensional travel and the concept of different dimensions.
Right.
I do believe that is biblical.
We spoke on Bigfoot maybe being a part of that.
Exactly.
An alien race that's using interdimensional travel.
Right, right. I mean, if you can go from anywhere, wherever they've come from to here, you've mastered a lot of stuff.
And it's coincidental. Every culture has a Bigfoot creature.
Yeah.
Call it something different.
Skunk ape.
Yeah.
Sasquatch. Yeti.
Yeti. I mean, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's just some of these common themes that run through our species. You know, through the subconscious that you know certain things are there. Yeah. I mean, we have a certain fear of snakes or reptiles.
Absolutely.
It's just intrinsic in us. Yeah. So they're just, you know, some of those things are worth exploring. Where does this come from?
That's it.
Well, all righty,
folks,
my man.
We'll bring it close to it. We talked about a lot of information today. We kind of closed out our UFO study for the time being. And as the government releases more information, or we get in our head, we have a new theory that we want to drop on you, we'll come back to this topic. We've talked about the Black Widow movie. We've talked about Loki. I mean, Marvel is about to blow us away the rest of this year and next year as well as far as movies dropping. And I know I was excited to sit and watch Black Widow.
Oh, man. Just to be back
after 2 years.
Yes, yes.
And the shows have lulled us a little bit, but it's exciting to be back on topic.
It is. It is. I've enjoyed it. Thanks to Billy for coming on out and spending some time with us.
Enjoyed it.
Oh, we always enjoy you, Billy.
Always enjoy that. Always enjoy him.
I know we've talked about, you know, getting back on the paranormal track a little bit, cryptozoology perhaps. I do want to do some more investigations, you know, field investigations, not just us theorizing and reading.
Yeah, I think maybe we need to be looking at that.
Absolutely.
We've got some folks who have been asking about doing some investigating, so I think maybe we need to take a look at that.
Absolutely. Well, guys, we'll see y'all next time. Y'all take care. God bless. And adios.
Adios.